Hello, and welcome to the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. In each episode of the show, we shine a spotlight on the women who are making strides and changing lives. Hello, and welcome to the Truly Amazing Women Show. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, your host. We are here today with Laura Day, an internationally renowned teacher and intuitive who has penned 7 books with the goal of teaching millions how to create success using their own intuition. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you.
So before we get started, I want to tell our audience a little bit about Laura Day. Her latest book is How to Rule the World from Your Couch, a bestseller that teaches us to use our innate intuition to propel us ahead. These are step-by-step exercises that are easy to follow, fun to play with, and the results will amaze you, I know from personal experience. Laura has helped a global clientele of celebrities, scientists, business execs, and other professionals in the last 20 years use the power of intuition to achieve their goals and realize their dreams. In fact, Newsweek did a beautiful story on her entitled The $10,000 a Month Psychic, with the subhead is, when business people need a crystal ball, they turn to consultant Laura Day, the intuitionist, which is really, really fun. It's a great piece. Her clients also include celebs like Debbie Moore, Chris Rock, Nicole Kidman. But before we started the interview, Laura told me that who she really wants to talk to are people like me and you, people who aren't celebrities, but just really need to and can use their intuition. So Laura, let's get started with our Q&A. First of all, can you define intuition? What does it exactly mean?
Intuition is a direct knowledge of anything. What it really is our ability, our innate ability, to extend our senses in time and in space. To give a practical example, future telling is an intuitive ability. It's not what you perceive is not based on information. It's not based on what you know. It's not based on experience. It's just a quick, instant knowing of what will be. Intuition has a lot of spokes. It's a many spoked wheels. There are things like remote viewing, which is viewing a remote location, telling the future, experiencing what someone else is experiencing. And all of these innate abilities, because we all have them, and now science, of course, what's beautiful, you know, from the time I wrote my first book 20 years ago to now, is there's many scientific conclusive experiments in a variety of fields, physics, biology, psychology, endocrinology, all kinds of amazing fields that show that not only do we perceive information that we didn't think we had access to, but we can actually affect the world around us remotely. So intuition really covers all of that, and it works on the idea, I think an easy operating concept, is that we live in a unified field, so that our brain is a limiting organ. We deal with what's in front of us, what's going on moment to moment and day to day, which is actually a very healthy thing to do. But we also, like light, we're a particle, but we're also a wave. So we're able to experience different realities, different people, different time zones, so to speak, and bring that information back into our daily lives to have more functioning operating systems, more informed ones.
And it's really practical. In fact, your first book was called Practical Intuition, which is how I came to know you, because the book pretty much jumped off the bookshelf right into my hands 20 years ago. And I've been a fan of yours ever since. And in the book that you write, you really are very practical about having a question to start with. So take us through some of these practical steps so that when people finish this podcast, they can start being intuitive themselves, or using their intuition, that is.
Well, when I wrote my first book, which was 20 years ago, intuition was really more mysticism. Now, intuition has really entered into scientific fields, and there are proofs, and so people are seeing that these capacities of the human mind are not only verifiable, but they're useful. I called my first book Practical Intuition because really, at the time, intuition was being used in mystical ways. You know, speaking about past lives, I frankly am having enough trouble with this one. And what I wanted to show people is how you could use intuition, so use this direct knowledge of practically anything to enhance your life and your business and your functioning in the world as a human being. One of the problems with intuition is what intuition does is it challenges the natural boundaries of our thoughts and belief. So you get information that you don't know how to place, and all of us are getting that kind of information all the time. It's very important to have a goal or a target, because then what happens is that when you get that out-of-the-blue direct knowledge, you know where to direct it. So I always ask clients and students to know, what are your goals? Even more than your questions, what are your goals? Because you will organize that information around those goals. The other thing is that unless you are mentally ill, you will repress information that you can't do anything about. So if a bolt of lightning is going to strike you in 3 minutes and you're not going to have time to move, intuition isn't going to let you know that. Intuition will, however, let you know if you do have time to move. So intuitive impressions are usually actionable. The reason this is important is because people confuse their intuition with their fears or their hopes. You know, so a trader will be in love with a position and say, oh, my intuition is this is going to be great, whereas that may not be an intuition. That may simply be a hope. Intuition tends to come in a way that's rather detached. So even if you're viewing something that you hope for or viewing something that is incredibly impactful, it comes to you without a lot of emotion or juice. And it is always, always something that has guidance in it that you can do something about. I mean, often you can't change what's happening in the world around you, but you can change your position within it. You know, you can sell at a good sell time, buy at a good buy time. You may not be able to change the market, but you can change your position in it. So intuition needs a goal. And if something is coming in that feels like a feeling, it probably is a feeling, it's probably not an intuition. I really recommend that people write down their goals and make them limited, not a page full, because once again, the mind is a very messy place. Our brains are doing a lot of things. So write down maximum 3 clear goals. And you can have goals for a day or goals for a strategy session or goals for a meeting, but 3 clear goals. And then notice what comes to you from left field. I'm a big believer in documenting because, once again, mind is a messy place. So when a thought, idea, perception comes to you, jot it down. Because what you'll find is once you have your goals and you begin documenting those left field things that you notice, those out of the blue intuitions, perceptions, you'll find that what your intuition is actually doing is creating a roadmap for you. One of the nice things about intuition is even though the information comes in often in a very nonlinear way, if you document it, what you end up with is a game plan. So it's very important, clarify your goals, document your information, and notice what your information is telling you. I always think it's funny with people and signs. You know, I had a client who felt that the fact that she was seeing yellow roses on the street all the time was a sign that her ex-lover was still in love with her. She didn't take as a sign the fact that he hadn't been in touch with her for years. He was happily married and had 2 children. So it's really important not to mystify and complicate your information, to look at it as information. It won't always tell you what you want it to tell you. However, it will always be actionable. So it'll always give you an ability to change a direction. And that's really what intuition is good for. It's good for helping you meet your goals, perhaps not down the path you had anticipated going, perhaps by an alternate route. But intuition is very inventive, and it will get you where you want to go.
So you talk about in the book using your intuition to get information that is useful, accurate, and actionable. You also talk about 4 concepts: target, attention, embodiment, and integrity. And these, to me, are really good structures to guide yourself. So can you give us some tangible examples of setting a goal and then using these objectives, these characteristics to guide what the information that you're getting?
So a target is your goal or your question. A target is, say, I want to bring a fabulous business partner or a fabulous love partner who complements me into my life now. That's a target or a goal. Now, the interesting thing about intuition is people in the last few decades have learned a lot of positive visualization techniques where you create something from memory in your mind and you use imagination and you're inventive and you visualize it. Intuition is very different, and people often get confused. With intuition, you have your target. So my target is bringing in a wonderful business partner. And then instead of imagining something, you literally follow your attention, and your attention may take you interesting places. Your attention may take you to someone you met at a dinner party a month ago. Your attention may take you to an ad you saw. Your attention may take you to an industry. Your attention may take you to something in the room that you're then led to pick up. So you follow your attention, and in following your attention, once you have a target, what you will find is that your attention begins to tell you a story, begins to create the path for you. Embodiment is very important, once again, because people really have gotten used to using kind of positive visualization, which in many ways is wishful thinking. Embodiment is the ability to use all of your senses, taste, hear, smell, sight, and even memory, feeling, to use all of your senses to experience something different. In intuitive terms, it's called mediumship. So it is when you become the object or the goal. And in doing that, what happens is you really notice not only the shifts that you have to make, the shifts that have to occur, often timelines that have to occur, but you are aware of the obstacles, because when you're experiencing something that is not real and true in the common sense, what you notice is what is dissonant in that experience. Now, anything, once you're consciously aware of it, is a tool. And that's really, I think, should be everybody's goal, is to be as consciously aware of what's around them, what's going to be a barrier, and what tools they have to get through it as possible. Once again, I'm not a big believer in positive thinking. I think if a bullet's coming at you and you don't move, that bullet is sure going to hit you. It's really important not to be negative either, because negative thinking, you're not looking at possibilities, you're looking at the worst scenario. But realistic, empowered thinking is what embodiment's about. It's about, this is my goal, let me experience that goal as real and true in this moment, and then let me notice everything that gets in the way, and let me then make moving through those barriers my target. And that is really where the interesting dynamic occurs. Integrity is also very important for a company, for a human being. By integrity, I mean the ability for you to work with yourself, work with your company, work with your goals, work with your beliefs. One of the things that I often see that happens that gets in the way of people using intuition effectively to achieve is that part of them wants this achievement, wants this goal, and another part of them has a lot of conflicts about it. And the conflicts could be that they don't feel it's right. It could be that it challenges another area of their life. So really that very important human work of working with your goal to make sure that you can convince all parts of yourself, find a voice for all parts of your company, and then find a clear voice for all parts of your market to be able to bring that goal into fruition is what I mean by integrity. And integrity is always a work in progress, because as new information comes up, new integrity needs to evolve.
Makes perfect sense. Target, attention, embodiment, and integrity. So what other tools do we have at our disposal to help us be more intuitive?
Well, you know, one of the most overlooked things are the people around us. I mean, the nice thing about intuition is you can ask somebody a question, and you can ask it in a way where they don't have a lot of information to reason, because the mind, of course, wants to reason. That's what we learn in school. It doesn't want to intuit. And you can just ask them to report where their attention goes, what time period they're in, who they're noticing around them. And you can write it down, and you will be very surprised at how accurate that information is. Companies often hire people to tell them what the market wants without asking their sales staff. And really, you can, creative community is a very important thing. One of my favorite workshop sayings is the only thing between psychic and psychotic, the only difference between psychic and psychotic is that your information is right. And so the wonderful thing about intuitive information is that although you can't often put your finger on where it came from, you can verify it. And it's a very important practice to get the out-of-the-blue information, whether it's about your company, your family, your market, and then to look at the other information that's available and use it as simply one piece. I mean, part of the problem, I think, for many people and for many companies is not only is there so much information available, but the access to immediate and changing information is constant. And a lot of that information is wrong. The wonderful thing about training intuition is that if you follow your attention will take you even to the pieces of traditional information available that are correct. The other thing that I think people overlook is how important sleep is. Other than, you know, what we all know about sleep, you know, where the subconscious makes right the experiences during the day and you integrate and your body regenerates, the other wonderful thing about sleep is that all of your senses are at rest for those of us who are fortunate enough to sleep in safe situations. And so those intuitive senses, if you give yourself a goal, and I really, for a sleep goal, I really recommend a single goal or target before sleep. What you'll notice is that when you wake up, you may not have the answer in the sense of a computer printout, but you'll have a very clear and directed integrity, inner sense of what the right direction is, what the right choices are to make. So in How to Rule the World from Your Couch, there are a lot of sleep exercises. There's a downside to intuition as well, and anyone who's ever worked with or lived with somebody who is, you know, chronically angry or depressed, whether or not they act it out, knows that our boundaries are actually very thin, our boundaries between self and other, and even our boundaries between self and the world. There was a very interesting telepathy experiment done around the time of 9/11. And a couple weeks, I think it was done by Rupert Sheldrake, but I'm not sure. And around 2 weeks before 9/11, in this telepathy forum, there were a lot of visual images of planes crashing into buildings and, you know, things that stood out because they were unique and traumatizing. But that the 2 days before 9/11, there were none of those images because people repressed them. It was too close. One of the wonderful things about keeping an intuition, you know, running dialogue, an intuition journal, is that your intuitions will predict far in advance things that logic and information could not predict, those left field things. So, for example, for myself, one of my most useful moments of intuition was when a couple weeks before the market crash, I think it was in the end of 2007, I just felt like I wanted to get out of the market. It didn't feel safe to me. I didn't feel that I was out of the market by the time it crashed, but I didn't feel that the few days before, because had I been there, it would have been too anxious. I would have been anxious about my friends. So it's really keeping that running dialogue and when it's safe to do so, acting on your intuition. And I'm going to give you a very simple example. I wake up in the morning and I think of a friend of mine who died 15 years ago, and I remember she has a daughter, and I think, wow, I haven't spoken to the daughter in 10 years, and I look her up on Facebook, and this is all in a space of 5 minutes, and I message her on Facebook, and she says, oh, I'm coming to New York. She lives in Colorado. I'm coming to New York, and I was looking all over for your information. I needed to get in touch with you. And I ended up, you know, she ended up staying with me, but she needed something from me. It was someone I wanted to respond to. I got an intuition, but I knew to act on it. Simple things, like I wake up in the morning and I order my son Nespresso capsules, and he calls me, he's in L.A., I'm in New York, a few hours later, and I say, oh, by the way, I ordered you 100 capsules, and he said, oh, thank heavens, I just used my last one. So, you know, intuition is often very unremarkable, but it just helps you take care of your tasks in an efficient and organized way.
So can you give us some more examples of how you've used intuition for companies and how we can then use that kind of example to create a target for ourselves?
Companies ask me the same questions that they ask themselves. So they ask, you know, we're rolling out a new product. What are the problems that our consumers are going to face in using it? So we can troubleshoot in advance. Or a film is coming out a certain weekend, there's some leeway about when it can come out. What other films do you feel that it will be up against that will cut into the box office? When is a better time to do it? Most of the work I do is prediction. But any question you ask yourself, if you're a doctor, what's wrong with this patient? If you're, you know, a currency trader, how's the euro going to close against the dollar today? Any question that you ask yourself, you can ask your intuition. And I think that this is where people get tangled, is that they feel like intuition should be this deep, strong, mystical experience. And it's not. It's just data coming in, and it's data that you need to organize and apply like any other data. So every single question that you would ask yourself in the normal course of your daily life or daily business is a question or target that you can ask intuition. It is important to make sure you are asking exactly what you want to know. So I often get clients will say, what do you think about this person if they're talking about a hire? Well, you know, as a dinner partner, they're very nice. But as a CFO, I think they're pretty sloppy. I mean, it's, you know, you really, both for yourself and if you work with intuitives, you really do need to refine the question you're asking. Now, an experienced business intuitive will refine that question for you. But those of you who are using your own staff as intuitives or who are using it for yourself, just like in your daily life, when you really refined your question, you've half answered it already.
That's great advice. In fact, I just had the opportunity to come up and take your annual once-a-year workshop in New York. About 30 of us were there, and my real goal for the workshop was to see how intuitive I felt I was being. And doing readings, you were wonderful how you just had us pair up and we read each other and as many of each other as we could, and how The Circle has continued, which is another one of your books, The Circle. We keep emailing each other. I just about an hour ago did a reading with one of my workshop colleagues. It's really amazing how intuitive we truly are, especially when we start playing with the tools. And that brings me to my next question, which is, how did you first know that you were intuitive?
I didn't, because like most children, I assumed everybody saw the world and reality exactly the way I did. I first realized that everyone else didn't know they were seeing the world the way I did when I was 11 and my mother was in a coma. And, you know, as is typical with medicine, the doctors didn't want to give an 11-year-old a lot of details. And a very nice chaplain sat down with me and I told him exactly what was going on in my mother's body. And this gentleman, and they're always like, it's amazing who ends up your teachers. This chaplain met with me every week for probably more than a year because he wanted to understand how I saw the world, and I, of course, wanted to understand how he saw the world. So that was my first sense that what I was doing was unique, and then, or that other people felt it was unique. And then in my early 20s, I got involved in universities that were testing psi phenomena, that were testing extrasensory perceptions, because I really think it is very important that we take intuition, you know, out of the esoteric and bring it into the practical. Because I think that one of the things that we forget as companies and we forget as human beings is that life is very challenging. Business is very challenging. I mean, beliefs are wonderful, but when you wake up in the morning and you've got a problem to solve, you need your tools. And intuition really is a tool. Intuition gives us very actionable, accurate data that we can apply to create stronger companies, stronger communities, and stronger lives.
Perfect, perfect. And that brings me to my last question for our Tips for Entrepreneurs column, because you are going to be the January 2015 cover story on Be Incandescent magazine. So can you give us a handful of tips for entrepreneurs that as soon as they stop listening to this podcast that they can put into action?
First, know your goals and allow those goals to be mobile, because one of the things that I've seen in good goal setting, especially with intuition, is you may start out with a goal to get your product into every Target store. And what may happen as intuition gets engaged is that intuition gives you a better and more practical goal that accomplishes the same thing. So know your goals, but also allow new information to come in. Be plastic with your ability to adapt. Keep track of your biases as well. I mean, of course, when you have a goal, you really want it, and most of the time you want it the way you want it. You can almost always reach your goal. You can't. You cannot always reach it in the time frame you want. You cannot always reach it using the methodology that you're biased toward. So intuition will give you those other roads to get to the same goal. And it's very important to document your information, to document what comes in out of the blue and your senses, but also to be very cautious of your biases. I consider myself a very skilled intuitive and very skilled with prediction. But I know that there are certain areas in my life where I am consistently wrong. Not because intuition is wrong, but because of my own subconscious. Just not quite enough therapy in that area. So it really helps to know your biases and to know your hopes, to let information in. Information will often come early enough that you can change direction, even if it wasn't exactly what you wanted to do. Also, it's important for those of you who have companies to find processes that allow your employees and your staff and your workers to communicate with one another, but also to put them in situations where they feel safe in giving those out-of-the-blue perceptions, often that start with, you know, this doesn't make any sense, but I have a feeling X, or I see Y. I don't trust that our patent's going to come through in time. And just then begin to have a dialogue with those intuitive hits. Most of my companies do not say, okay, we're going to have an intuitive brainstorming session. That word is never used. However, they do learn to create, you know, forums for people to even anonymously give their intuitive impressions, their kind of out of the box concerns, ideas of what may be going on. And that can be extremely accurate and helpful. You can, the best companies are ones that function intuitively, you know, where there is good information that crosses from department to department and some kind of clearinghouse where the hits come together. And what I mean by the hits coming together is often if there is something big happening predictively, all kinds of different departments in your company will get that same hit using their own metaphors. So, you know, shipping may feel like they're not going to have a lot of work. Your sales department may feel like they're just not as confident, even though sales are good. So you'll notice that many different people or many different departments are getting the same impression. And that is especially important to look for. Look for trends, and not trends that are based on the weather. You know, if it's a rainy day and everyone's feeling doomy about the future, that's probably not intuitive. But if over and over you're getting feedback where there are details that are the same about different subjects, it's often very important to look at that segment of your business, of your functioning, because it will often be very accurate and very predictive.
Wonderful, wonderful practical advice. And speaking of practical intuition, you are working on a new book. Tell us about that.
My new book is really about how we integrate intuition into being human beings, because there's a lot of, spirituality is a multi-billion-dollar industry, but really the hard task isn't sitting on a mountaintop and chanting. And the hard moments are not the moments where we're in community praying. Intuition really does need to make us more effective in our daily life. And in order to do that, we really need to develop how we function as human beings. And so my next book is really about how do you integrate intuition with the normal tasks of growing as a human being and succeeding in daily life.
Perfect, perfect. Well, I look forward to reading that and to sharing all of your wonderful information, advice about intuition with all of our audiences. Thank you so much for your time, Lara.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, your host, and we will talk to you soon. Have a great day.
All right.
That's it for today's episode of the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. If you're a truly amazing woman or know someone who is, don't hesitate to contact us. Simply log on to www.trulyamazingwomen.com and fill out the proposal form. We've profiled more than 250 women on the site who fit the bill of being truly amazing, and we look forward to honoring more. Who will be our next truly amazing woman? Tune in next week for a new episode on www.incandescentradio.com. Here's to your incredible, indelible success.